You're tuning in to a Miniatures Wargaming Union podcast.
For the Empire!
Check out MWUnion.com to join the wargaming community.
Hey everybody, welcome to, back to the Drop Podcast. You're tuning in to episode 40 on the Sunday, March the 9th of 2008. I'm your host, Steve Boyce, and otherwise known as Tim Gunther. Yes, okay, so the gist of this show is basically Steve Casagrande, lovingly known as Other Steve, doesn't have a mic, or it's broken, or something, and Leader Steve is really freaking sick. So sick, we had to buy him a coffin. But, yes, thank you for joining us on the podcast, and with me today is Chris Weigel.
I'm right here.
Okay. Okay, first up, we have news from the front line, and first off, as most people should know from our front page of our website, renowned Mr. Gary Gygax has passed away last week, I think, or the week before.
March 4th or 5th.
Yeah, he was 69, and if you don't know who that is, he's basically, he was the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons and Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. That being said, Dungeons & Dragons is really the very start of all RPGs and gaming and that kind of thing, really. It's the predecessor to every kind of role-playing and just all that. And it's we're really blessed that we that somebody like him existed to give us and other people the joy of role-playing games and just games in general. Really, without him, I really think Games Workshop and all the stuff that we love wouldn't be around or would be very different from what we know.
Yeah, he really did set up a basis, and everyone kind of followed it, and everyone made it into their own thing. But he is really, he's really what set the whole thing in motion. So it's pretty sad.
Yeah. And next we have Fantasy Flight Games is, as some of you might know, is taking over Black Industries, who makes Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay and Warhammer 40K Roleplay, also known as Dark Heresy. And hopefully they'll do a really good job on that. I know that they're not very renowned for their RPGs or anything. At least most of the hardcore RPGers that I know don't really know much about their RPGs or anything. I'm just really hoping that they do a good job and really keep with what Black Industries has started. You what, had something to say?
What RPGs do they even do? I know they do. I know they do a couple things. I didn't know what RPGs they do though. Do you know, or are they so unpopular that no one cares?
They actually have quite a few. It's just they're not really, nobody really knows about them. And there's Grimm, Midnight, Anima, Fireborn, Legends and Lairs, Dawnforge, Dragonstar, Horizon, Nocturnum, and then, what is that one? Hollywood Lives. There we go.
And, never heard of those.
Exactly. Never really heard of them. And I really wish that somebody like White Wolf would have gotten it, just because they're so good at what they do. But hopefully, like I said, hopefully Fantasy Flight Games will do a really good job and keep with the goodness that Black Industries has given to the Warhammer Fantasy and 40K RPGs.
Yeah, definitely. I really do hope they kind of stick with it, because from all those RPGs you listed, I've never heard of any of those, and they seem to go for the quantity of RPGs instead of the quality of RPGs. So hopefully they'll kind of flip-flop that with the ones they're bringing in from Black Library.
Yeah,
well, Black Industry.
See, that's one of the things that I like about like Dungeons and Dragons, and which is Wizards of the Coast now, and then White Wolf, who does Vampire, Werewolf, Changeling, and then like two, and then another one or two. But if you look at those RPGs, they are really, really in-depth and everything, and they really focus, even if they change them, they really focus on the quality of it and are really good about that. I'm just hoping that Fantasy Flight Games will bring the same kind of quality to Warhammer RPGs that other companies bring to their RPGs.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe some of the guys who worked at Black Industries and really were hands-on with the rule books would either go to Fantasy Flight or would just assist or do a lot of assistance.
I'm thinking that they'll do some assisting, because what Black Industries is actually doing is Black Libraries is basically incorporating Black Industries into Black Libraries so that Black Libraries can do better novels or
pump out more of them or
something along the line of staying on the doing better novels and staying on that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Soulstorm was released this week, or actually last week now since it's Sunday. But Soulstorm was released, and I've had a chance to play a bit of it, and I know you, Chris, have had a chance to play some of it.
Hopefully,
I will find out how to get my freaking keys to work so that it stops freezing on me and stuff like that. But but it's really good. The if you haven't played the demo for Soulstorm, which you can play the Dark Elder, I really, really suggest that you download that and play it. It's really neat, and I love the new magic and faith, like the dark and faith magics that they have. And the dark magic obviously being for the
Dark Elder
and then faith. The faith magic being for the Sisters of Battle. And all the new units are pretty cool, especially the Deceiver is really neat. One of his powers for the Necrons is to basically he creates an illusion monolith to focus fire away from him. And then I think another one is he can actually turn other units against for a limited amount of time, he can turn your enemies against themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
And I'm still a little bit annoyed that they would make jet engine airplanes hover, but that's just me. And also along with that, they have Dawn of War 2 has been confirmed, which is awesome. Hopefully they'll do a really good job. Well, I know they'll do a really good job.
Continue.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the only problem I have with the rumor or confirmation going around is, A, it's an anonymous source, and I mean, it makes sense considering...
I think they'd have started it a long time ago even probably before Soulstorm was even announced. Because I know for quite a few game-making companies, they start a game, and then when they're done with... And then while they're even making a single game, they'll have a few people starting doing their next project, and then once this one game is done, they'll have everybody shift over to their new project. So that's why I'm thinking that the Dawn of War 2 is fairly credible, even if it's an anonymous source.
A lot of the rumors are saying that they really started it after they released Company of Heroes, and they really started making a push on it after Opposing Fronts came out. I think it's a relatively good rumor, because everyone who complains that Tyranids aren't in the game, and I swear to God, if I hear another person complain that, oh, Tyranids aren't in the game, I will come to their house and beat them senseless with a baseball bat, because it's really annoying. Anyway, enough with my tangent. They said that this engine that they have now won't do them justice.
How that is, I don't really know, but I'll just leave it up to them for knowing how their engine works.
Yeah, well, I assume they know how their engine works properly, and if they haven't updated the engine in one game and three expansion packs, they say that the engine won't do them justice, and everyone is complaining about Tyranids and how they're not in there, and I would like to see them in there, not that I would ever probably play them at all, but just to hear everyone shut up. But yeah, I do think the rumor has a good possibility of being confirmed probably relatively soon. I think the only reason we haven't, if there is anything at the end of Soulstorm, at the end of the campaign, I don't think we've heard anything, because this campaign is just way too big to conquer, and
it's actually
a couple
not
of
like
these.
I thought it would be. Instead of being like the same amount of map pieces on one planet as Dark Crusade, it has like, I think the max is like 5 or 6 pieces on a single planet, but then you have 4 planets, I think, in...
It's 4 planets and 3 moons. The thing is, each moon is only about, one or two territories big, but I guess that makes up for, I don't know, either way, I like the campaign.
I wish that they could have made it a lot bigger, which I think would be cool. Make it Dark Crusade, and the same amount of areas on each planet, but then make more planets. It's a few more areas than Dark Crusade. They're just over a wider area, which doesn't really make sense to me, but yeah, well.
The main thing I didn't like is the fact that if you play like Space Marines or Sisters of Battle, your planets start in the very back, and I don't know if there's a way to actually rotate the camera, and it's kind of hard to pick out the exact area on the planet that you want to attack, because they're so tiny, and it's like the size of like the whole mouse icon, so it's like you got to move it like millimeters to, or like
Don't like the dark Eldar start on the bottommost planet, and one of their territories is like at the bottom of the planet, and all you really can click on is this little sliver to get to selecting it so you can attack it, and that's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, I just wish there was a way to like rotate it so you can, or like zoom in or out more easily that way.
When you click on a planet, you zoom in, but you have to select a war zone area, and then you zoom into that war zone. I wish you would have your space view zoom into planet and then select instead of select and zoom in and just kind of that. It just make it a lot nicer.
Yeah, and the problem is like if you click on an area to zoom in, and like you notice that you clicked on the wrong area, you wanted to click to the one next to it, you can't just like click the one next to it and have it switch over. You have to zoom back out and then click the right one. So, but besides that, I like the campaign a lot. I'm not even close to finishing it though.
Yeah,
I got Smash Brothers today, so I've been occupied.
The Tau Moon has a big gun on it.
It has a really big cannon.
The text for it is it softens up the opposing forces when you go to attack somewhere. That's great.
That'll do more than soften their troops. That'll annihilate every single person there.
But anyway, on to the next news topic. It's as most of you should know, it's Warhammer's 25th anniversary this year. So they've had some special releases going on, and those will come out in April 12th, I think. Yeah, and they have a few little army sets that you can get that are Dwarves, Empire, High Elves, Orcs and Goblins, Skaven, and Wood Elves. And each of those has, I think, don't they have a unique model with them? Like the Dwarves has a Master Engineer. I'm thinking that that's a unique model. I don't quite remember, though.
I don't know, because the only place I know they're on is the UK site, and every time I try to go to the UK site, it says, like, access denied or something like that, and I get rejected, so I actually haven't been able to see it, but I would assume that the character model, because If you look at the prices and what's in it, it doesn't seem worth it unless you would get a rare or like limited edition miniature with it.
Orcs have one Master Engineer, 20 Iron Breakers, including full command, 16 Thunderers, a cannon / organ gun, and a gyrocopter.
Well, yeah, but I would assume the character would be a limited edition model, kind of like when they used to release the army sets and you'd get like a limited edition standard bearer or whatnot.
But anyway, the dwarves have the Master Engineer Empire Luther Huss mounted. High elves, you actually get a lord on a dragon, and orcs, you get a war boss, and then a grease seer for the skavens. I don't know if those are all different, are all specialty things, but oh well. And then you get a wold elf hero on a stag, and they also have, I think, like a tape measure and a dice commemorating it. I'm not quite sure.
I heard something about that. I'm not 100% positive on that, though.
Dice and a case. Okay, that's it. And hopefully that stuff will be really cool. And that's a little nice thing that they have going on for the 25th anniversary.
It'll be epic-ish. And isn't it... And there was a... Last year was a 40k campaign, right? Oh, no, last year was a fantasy campaign. Never mind. I lied.
Well, it's Games Workshop. Who cares? They can double up if they want.
True. People will still play.
I think that it would actually be really cool having a special 25th anniversary campaign or something. I don't know how they make it special or more special than any other campaign. But hopefully throughout the rest of the year, we'll see... new and different things coming out from Games Workshop for their 25th anniversary of Warhammer. And lastly, we have, or actually not lastly, Make Your Logo and Win contest, the winners, which were, if you haven't seen, the pictures are really nice. The third place is Davey C., who did a MWUnion.com picture made of dice, which I thought was fairly interesting. And a tape measure is the underscore. And then I really like the use of the D20 for the dot for .com. and then he has a Space Marine and a little Night Goblin guy over on the left-hand side and stuff. But then the second place runner-up is... David Thompson, who did a really, really awesome mosaic of RMW Union logo of a whole bunch of pictures from Warhammer. And
it's only Warhammer, it's only Games Workshop-based photos, too, so definitely. Yeah.
And actually, no disrespect to the first place winner, but I really think that... this mosaic should have gotten a little bit another look at it, just because it looks like it took a lot of time to make, if he actually did the specific placements for everything. But that's just my opinion. And then lastly, the winner, Chris Stenhues, I think, also known as Whizbang. Did a dwarf standard bearer with the MW Union logo on it that's painted very nicely. And, I think that looks really cool. He did a good job on the snow around his feet and stuff. And I like his little stein waving up in the air.
Yeah, all the entries were very, very good. But,
Except the dice one. That was cheap. But interesting.
It was interesting, though. I liked it.
I give it the interesting one. Okay.
But yeah, so, congratulations to all the winners, and thank you for entering.
Congratulations to Whizbang. He got a $25 gift certificate, I think, to our MW Union War Gear store. So hopefully you can get a t-shirt or something out of that. And then lastly, for news, let me find this here. Black Library's update. We haven't had one of those in quite a long time. but basically a new Horus Heresy novel coming out. It is by Dan Abnett again. He did the first one.
Legions, right?
Yeah, Legions is the new one. He did the first one. What's the first one called?
Horus Rising.
Yeah, Horus Rising. And that was really good. If you haven't read it, I really suggest that you do. I'm sure that this will be just as good or better. And again, that's an addition to the Horus Heresy series, which is really good. And then Lee Leiter has one out that's Wolf's Honor, which is obviously about the Space Wolves.
There we go. And you hate their color scheme.
I just don't like
the powder blue.
Long hair and powder blue. That's just not cool. But
it just screams wrong for Tim.
Yeah, but then again, there's this is a really interesting one to me. Robert Earl has a is coming out with, oh, it's already out. Okay, stupid me.
Nice.
But a book called Ancient Blood, which apparently deals with the Strigoi, which have been overlooked thus far by novelists for Black Library, and hopefully that'll be really good. I really want to get that one and read it, just because I really love the Vampire Counts, if nobody knows that. And I think that'd be really cool. And then they have the Dawn of War Omnibus is out by C.S. Godot. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Yeah,
basically,
I think so.
If you don't know what the omnibuses are from Black Libraries, they're three or more books of a series that are compiled into a single book. And the thing that I really like about them is that for the price of a little over a single book, you can get three. And I know some of the best ones are, they have, The Gaunt's Ghost has two omnibuses. The first one has the first three, and the second one has the next four. But I've never read the Dawn of War, any of those books. Did you have one of those? I thought somebody, one of us, had.
Gillies might have, but I know my friend Chris. He, I think he read the first two, and he said he really enjoyed them. So.
Yeah, and then also you can buy a poster of the cover art for Legions, which is the new Horus Heresy book, which is really cool. I love the poster art. It's got
I think it's the Volstrans, the Imperial Guard. The crazy Russian looking ones.
But I know it has the
Alpha Legion.
Alpha Legion Marine walking in, there's dust being kicked up, and it's got that cool kind of a 3D.
I'm a badass looking.
No, well, the picture, the artwork is that 3D artwork that all the covers have, which is really cool, I think. Yeah. And for next month, there's some pre-orders, and then the first one of which is the Times of Legend series. I think this is the first one. It's Helden Hammer. And if you don't know what the Time of Legend series type thing is, it's
isn't it the story of Sigmar? Sigmar?
No, yeah, Sigmar. It's basically what the Dark Heresy, not Dark Heresy. I really have to go beat myself now. It's the Horus Heresy is,
and rightfully you should,
to the Imperium. Okay, I'm just gonna shut up now.
It's the Horus Heresy of fantasy. It's how chaos in the fantasy realm started. Tim can't say that.
Well, it's the story of Sigmar Heldenhammer, who, if you don't know who that is and need to be beaten just like me, is the now the god and previous ruler of the Empire of Warhammer Fantasy. And I think it's really cool. The first one is him battling orcs and stuff, and then they actually have Nagash the Sorcerer is the second one, I believe. And that's if you don't know who Nagash is, he's the one who started the vampires and stuff like that, and the one who created single-handedly the
Tomb Kings.
The Tomb Kings. So
who is
be really good? What?
What is the name of the author who's doing that series?
Graham,
or at least that first.
Oh, the first one is Graham McNeil.
Oh, okay, cool. He's a very good writer.
Mike, yeah, they're doing the alternating author. Nagash the Sorcerer is Mike Lee doing that one. And then Malekith, the last one is Gev Thorpe is doing that one.
Oh, cool.
And so,
personally, my favorite two authors are Dan Abnett and Graham McNeil. They both write very, very well, and I really wish those were the only two who did the Horus Heresy series.
If
not taking away from the other authors, but
What's his name? There's another author that I really, really like. He did the Grey Knights books.
Oh, I know who that is.
Damn it! I can't think of it right now.
Hold on, I'm gonna have to look this up now.
Okay.
You can go on. I have to look this up now.
There's another, Richard Williams has a book out that's, or not out, but pre-order, that's called Relentless. That is,
Ben Counter.
Yeah, Ben Counter, that's it.
He also did the, third Horus Heresy book, which is good. I haven't read it in a while, though. I haven't had time.
And, this is a pretty unique one as well. Relentless is about, the Imperial Navy. I think that might be pretty cool, just because that's one of the little, written about and little known, pieces of, 40K, the 40K world.
I was about to say, what I'd like to see, not that I'd like to see it, but I think it would be really interesting if they did, like, the, like, a more in-depth backstory to each of the, like, armies, like, in 40K or fantasy, or both. You know, like, kind of like the backstory of, I don't know, say the High Elves, and how they all, instead of just like the backstory that's in the actual rule books or codexes, have like an entire backstory of how it became one solid, you know, race under, I don't know. You know, I'm just gonna stop talking now.
That I really wish that they would do that. I think needs the most explaining. The Necrons, really?
Yeah,
because it kind of it's. The background for them is they're really freaking old, older than the Eldar. Well, that's nice and all, but what the heck?
How did they start? Where did they come from?
That'd
be nice to know.
That's the one I really want.
I want to see that or Dark Eldar, I'd like to see.
Yeah, the Dark Eldar.
Not too much out on them.
Then another pre-order is Vampire Wars, which is an omnibus of the Steven Seagal's Vampire Count von Karstein.
Von Karstein.
Which comes with all three of those. I have one of those, and they're fairly good. Another one is a pre-order from Clint Langley, who is it's the art of. Clint Langley, and that'll be pretty cool. I always like the art books that they put out, and they're really good. And then you can also get a Heldenhammer poster, pre-order that. And the thing that I thought was really cool is that they have, you can pre-order shirts in medium, large, and extra large, the first of which is the drab beige. Kind of with the Imperial Aquila on it. The second one is a ultramarine kind of blue color, and then on the I think if I have it right here on the left shoulder you have the arrow pointing up, and then on the right shoulder you have the ultra symbol, which is the upside down omega, and then on the front, like where like the color piece right below that is
it also
the,
has the ultra symbol.
Ultra symbol as well.
And there's also the Inquisition shirts.
Yeah, and the last one is the Inquisition shirt, which is really cool. They're black with a red skull, and in the forehead of the red skull, or on top of the head or whatever, is the Inquisition symbol, and I think that's pretty cool.
And I think it says something on the back, too. It says innocence proves nothing on the bottom of the back, too, in red lettering. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I just thought...
Pre-order now.
Yeah. I think I might get one of those. That'd be pretty cool, I think. Okay, and I think that's all for news for this episode. So, I'll leave it to Chris to do the unit of the show. This show, which is the Vampire Counts unit, the Graveguard. So, take that away.
As Tim just said, the Vampire Count unit of the show is Graveguard. And a little bit of a backstory. Upon the walls of the Drakenhof, castle, and other vampire-haunted keeps of Slovenia, patrol timeless warriors clad in ancient armor and wielding glowing blades. These dread sentries are the Graveguard, whites drawn from the ancient tomb to act as guardians for the vampire rulers of Slovenia. Now, this is definitely one of those units that has more pros than cons. One of their pros is the fact that they're undead, so they cause fear and immune to psychology. So basically, they will scare off pretty much anything, and no one will basically scare them off, or easily at least.
They are stalwart in the face of danger.
Yes. They have heavy armor and shields, which gives them 4+ in combat and 5+ range save, which very, very helpful. They have the white...
Don't they have armor, or do you have to add that on?
Heavy armor and shields.
Okay. Shouldn't that be
standard?
4+ or something? Or 3+?
Heavy armor's 5+ save, plus the shield that gives a 4+ in close combat, and a 5+ at range, because shields don't affect range save.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Sounded for a minute.
What?
I said I was just making sure you kind of sounded off there to me for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, they're a skeletal unit that has a strength and toughness of 4, which is nice because since they have strength 4, they give -1 to armor modifications when they hit someone, and toughness 4, which just makes them a little bit harder to bring down than the rest of your army, considering the rest of your army basically has a toughness of 2. Or 3, which is kind of sad. But also they have the White Blade, which is nice. It counts as a magical attack, and it has the Killing Blow ability, which is anything with the unit strength of 1, you can take outright, which is very nice.
Basically, every hit is a kill.
Yeah, and also you can take away their shields and... close combat weapons, which is their white blade, and give them a great weapon instead, if you please, which adds +1 strength or something like that. The cons of the army is the fact that they it is one of the parts of the undead rule, which is they can't run from combat, which seems like a good thing, and it is a good thing. But the downside of that is the fact that they can't run from combat, but every point they lose combat by, they take another wound. And since each model only has one wound, if you lose combat by about 3, if say you lose combat by 3, 3 more skellies drop, 3 more Graveguard drop at the end of the combat phase. Which...
running away then isn't the con, it's the losing by...
Yeah.
More than whatever is the con.
Yeah, one model falls for every point you lose by in combat.
Yeah, but you just said that the not running away is the bad thing about them, which isn't really a drawback, as they're just going to stand there and fight.
Well, Tim corrected me. Also, another pro is the fact that you can use Invocation in the Keck and bring them up to full strength, which is really fun.
Will the invocation allow you to add additional
units? No. The thing with the invocation of the Keck now is the only unit you can bring past original starting size are zombies, and otherwise you can bring every unit up to regular strength, And there's some vampire.
Some you can't revive them. You just can't revive them past their normal numbers. So if you have 20 and 5 die and you get a plus 6, you can only raise 5.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
And what's it called? I forgot what I was gonna say. Never mind. Anyway, some quick tactica is they're good for taking out some of the more elite units of the army. Their armor save and toughness will definitely give them an advantage in combat. Also, the killing blow ability, and since they will not run away, they can hold their ground for quite a while. Also, they're not a lot of points. I think they're only about 12 points a model. So, and it's in a squad of 5 plus, so you can have anywhere between 5 and 200.
As long as you have money to pay for them, you can have quite a few.
Well, I think they come in boxes of 10 for 25 or so, or that's U.S. dollars.
I thought they would be.
No, they're not bad at all. And as long as you take more than the 5 plus minimum, as long as you take more than the 5 minimum, and you take maybe like 10 to 20,
yeah,
unit isn't going to go down, especially if you just keep rezzing more, you guys.
The other thing that I was going to add for tactic on that specific thing is it's not necessarily a tactica for them, although it can be used for them, but rather the vampire counts in general. If you take a vampire count and you add the Helm of Command, I think it is, you can give your vampires counts not attack, but it's weapon skill to the to a unit within 12 inches of it, I think, which would be really good on something like the Graveguard, just because Graveguard 7 7 or even 6 or 5 weapon skill would be a really powerful force.
Yep, one friendly unit within 12 inches of the wearer that is not in combat may use his may use the commander's weapon skill instead of their own for that close combat phase.
Okay.
So yeah, you just basically notify it before you decide to charge, and then charge and have fun.
Yeah, make sure your vampire count's not in combat himself. That negates you can't use it then.
Yeah. So. Just use it when your guys are close.
Which shouldn't be too hard getting him out of combat, considering you go into combat, and if you resolve that one first, it would be hopefully your fear for your vampire count will get you out of combat soon enough to still use that on one of your other units, which would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. And for listener tips, there are none.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen with some of the newer ones. So hopefully we'll get tips on the next one.
And
you done then?
Yeah, I just want to say for the next episode we will be using the Tyranid Gene Stealers.
Fantasy Tyranid Gene Stealers. I think he beats 40k Tyranid Gene Stealers.
Well, remember, Steve is sick, so when he wrote up this script, he's not completely...
I just thought that was funny. Have ourselves some fantasy Tyranid Gene Stealers. And when I saw that, I'm just like, what? I don't think the Tyranids are in fantasy. And I'm like, okay, I need to hit myself. They're not. But anyway,
so,
if you have any... Yeah, shut up.
No,
if you have any tips or tricks on the using Tyranid Gene Stealers, please send us your tips and tricks to the mwunion@gmail.com. And, we'll do that next episode. And
but make sure they're fantasy Tyranid Gene Stealers.
Yeah, make sure that your tips and tricks are for using Gene Stealers in fantasy, okay? But anyway, enough of making fun of Steve as he is sick and inept. We're going to actually forego the Armyless Workshop this episode just because the next Armyless that we have is a 1,500-point... Tyranid army, actually. And I think since I'm the host of the show, I really think that and we didn't really have anything else, I think that we should save that one for when at least one of the original hosts are with us.
Because they know
more. I, in the first place, and since it's a bigger army, I think it'd just be a nice thing for them to have on the show to do that. So, Taipan, your little army list will have to wait for next episode.
We apologize.
Yeah. Okay. And then the we have a little bit of roundtable discussion for this episode, and for that we're going to discuss the new war newsletter for actually February, which Chris got up on the site not too long ago. But yeah, I think I'll let you start us out on that, eh?
Yep. Just a quick overview of what's in the war newsletter. They explain the sieges and keeps system that they are implementing for the new realm versus realm combat that so many people asked for, and
yeah,
they got it.
If you don't know already, damn it, who is making the game? I'm really off.
EA Mythic.
Yeah, EA Mythic. They made Dark Age of Camelot, which uses keepies and weapons. I'm so off. Sorry, shut up. I'll kill you.
I'm distracted. I'm still more on topic than you.
But anyway, if you haven't played Dark Age of Camelot, it's really good and really fun to do realm versus realm combat in there. And I'm sure they'll pull it off just as good or better than the Dark Age of Camelot. Especially if you've looked at the pictures of the keep and of the really wicked-looking Chaos Battering Ram.
Oh, yeah, that's a battering ram.
It reminds me of Gronn from the Lord of the Rings, third Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
It's got that fiery open-mouth thingy going on.
Yeah.
The horny dudes and all the pokies.
And the spikies and the painies, and yeah, we're like 2-year-olds. Anyway, moving on. Boom Studios, it's a comic book company. They've done other comics like Damnation Crusade and the Orc one. I don't remember the exact name of that. What?
I said I don't remember going on.
Anyway, they also did one of the Warhammer Fantasy ones. They're coming out with a new one called Warhammer Condemned by Fire. It's going to be released in April. It's a five-part series, and it contains a special scratch-off in the comic where it gives readers a 1-in-5 chance to win to get into the Warhammer Online beta.
Yeah, win a beta spot.
Yeah, so
that's pretty cool, I thought. And also, the story is by Dan Abnett and Ian Edginton.
Edginton.
And Dan Abnett in there will make that really cool. I think he's the Damnation Crusade as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
On it. And as always, they have a double cover. You have your cover A and cover B, and they both look really cool. They have the Witch Hunter on the front of them.
Yep, it's a the whole thing's about a witch hunter, so
yeah,
should be cool. So check it out. Some player quotes. We're not gonna read those off.
Some of them are kind of good. If you go to our front page, you can open up the newsletter and read some of those. Some of them are pretty good. I like the picture of the Marauder. Looks kind of funny because the first time I glanced at it, instead of having three claws in his hand for a sand, it just looked like he had a funny little nub. And I'm like, that was great. I'm like, that's a really badass weapon. A nub. Sweet.
It's like a club, but not exactly. Anyway, developer diaries. Scenarios 101, again, it explains some new scenarios, which is this week, it's month, is the Stone Troll Crossing and the Talabek Dam. So I figured that is a, well, it says it's a Chaos versus Empire scenario, whatever, however you choose to pronounce it. But yeah, career mastery updates this week. Is, holy crap, I did it again. This month is the Bright Wizard and the Zealot. Army leaders for Order. They have Emperor Karl Franz. They have
him, by the way, looks really awesome. He's got a blue steel armor with gold filigree and inlays in it, and it's just really cool.
And he's got a green skid's head.
The Roman look to him, and it's really awesome.
They have Finubar, the Phoenix King, for the High Elves. I think that's awesome. What?
I said, who also looks awesome?
Yeah. And then they have the High King Thorgrim Grudgebearer for
who
the Dwarves.
Not quite so awesome, because he doesn't have a drawn picture. He's just the in-game model. But oh well.
He looks cool anyway.
Yeah, he's good.
More pictures from the cinematic this week. Oh my god, it's the third straight time I did that. This month. Man, and I was criticizing you for being off. Holy crap. They show off a female Shadow Warrior with some weaponry, which looks fair.
Really, really cool. I love the individual arrows at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's really awesome to me. I don't know why, but it's cool.
A zone overview of Safari. It's a high elf zone.
Right.
Ooh, new concept art of the Inevitable City's NPCs. The Inevitable City is the capital of the Chaos.
Yeah.
Really awesome looking concept designs of the banker assistant, the banker, the librarian assistant, and the librarian.
I love the banker look. He almost looks like, what's the...
He reminds me of Mysterio from Spider-Man, the original cartoon.
Head dude. Hey, flamey skullhead guy.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, minus the skull. He's got that flamey thing going
on. And the bike.
Yeah, and minus the bike as well. He could
but
be standing there without it. But okay. And he's like chained to the Zichian disc kind of thing, and that looks pretty cool. And then the your assistant has like weird gnarled arms with like flame or eyes on them or something. It's really cool. And I love the eyes for all of them, just because they don't really have regular eyes. All the eyes are either not there or they look
glowing
like
blue.
Pits of like blue or fire kind of sunken into their skull kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what's really cool about the librarian. He kind of looks like a Grim Reaper-esque kind of thing going on, but then he has the blue flame kind of thing. Or blue power or whatever coming out of the front of coming out of his hood opening and stuff like that. Same with the librarian assistant. He has that Grim Reaper-y look minus the blue fire junk.
Mm-hmm. More concept art. This time of three different types of chaos spawn. The corn spawn, which
looks pretty cool. It looks like a warthog mixed with a bull. Mixed with pointies.
Yeah, lots and lots of pointies. You have the Nurgle spawn, which kind of looks like an ogre.
Looks like a
gone
tentacle
uglier.
Gorilla. It looks like a fetid gorilla with tentacles.
Well, I say that because the helmet reminds me of an ogre
helmet.
The
helmet is cool. It's got the styling of like the Roman gladiator helmet.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking ogre helmet, because they kind of have that going on.
Kind of thing that... That Nurgle does sometimes. Yeah.
And the Zeech spawn, which is a creepy bird-looking thing that looks awesome.
That one is the weirdest one to me, just because it has six arms and or legs. It basically has two legs, two big arms, and two small arms.
And it has one wing.
It looks a lot like the alien queen from Aliens. With
but
the
feathery.
Arms up in its up by its chest with the big arms out to the side and stuff. But that one arm is really creeping me out because it's made of eyes and more little limbs.
Yeah.
And obviously they don't have the Slaaneshian spawn of chaos because it has too many boobies.
I was about to say, it'd be one giant boob.
It is a boob with an eye for a nipple. That's great.
This month's production podcast is they show you how they're doing how Paul and some other Brad Derek They're doing the music and sound and the voiceovers for the game, and some of the talent in there is absolutely fantastic. I wish I could do more than one voice, but this is about all I can do, and it scares people away already.
Be good for one of the chaos spawn. Oh, burn.
No, because that would be awesome. I wouldn't care. I don't care if I as long as
a chaos spawn that speaks in your droning voice or my droning voice.
Yeah. They would record your sinister laugh. They would record your sinister laugh.
That's not as sinister as I can get, but you can imagine. Yes.
Yeah. It's more evil. More production. Evil
than anything you've ever heard.
You were gonna say scene.
I was about to say scene.
Yeah.
Oh man, so off.
Yeah, we all are. Paul's video blogs, funny as hell again. This shows around some of the pals of White Dwarf who work for White Dwarf and GameSpot, and shares gifts from Father Nurgle. Spread that right there. Beta journals. They have a belt buckle now available too.
Yeah. Well, still, if you haven't signed up for Warhammer Online beta, you really need to do that. Even if you don't have a really good computer, you can still do that because they can't figure out how the game will react to lower-end systems unless they have people playing with lower-end systems. So it doesn't really matter what kind of system you have. Bleeding Edge.
You still have a chance.
10 years ago, funky little thing, but you still have a chance of getting in. So
as long as you're not running like Microsoft Me, I think you'll be okay. Because I know someone who actually still runs that. It's sad.
They're not like, dead or ripping their eyes out and their hair.
No, they were like, "Can you upgrade my computer to XP? No, buy a new one. You ask me again, I will punch you in the face."
You're very violent. So, okay.
Well, what would you say?
Yeah, how about some upgrades there? Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to come in on Saturday and upgrade your computer.
And, also, if you didn't know, because I know there's definitely some talented artists out there who love war. Not war in general, but Warhammer Online. Draw up some really nice artwork.
Yeah, you can also
get a beta. You can earn a beta spot that way, if they select it.
And some of those are already really good.
Also, fan fiction, if you are a talented writer out there.
Yeah, I know some of our guys do little stories and stuff for 40K and stuff. If you ever have the inkling to do fantasy, really send that in. And post it on our forums, too, at mwunion.com. And so we can all read it and stuff, and hopefully you'll get a beta spot, which would be really cool. Then you can tell us all about it and break your non-disclosure agreement and then get kicked out again.
How would you get kicked out again if you were never in, if you didn't get kicked out first?
You can get kicked out again.
Even though you've never been kicked out before?
Yeah. It's the way the world works. Don't question me, Daniel.
Okay. Yeah, so that is the Warhammer Online newsletter, and in next month, they're going to have the leaders of the destruction side, because they showed off, what's it called, more career mastery updates, zone overview, new images from the cinematic, and some other exciting war announcements. Maybe they'll actually finally show us what's in the special edition.
Somebody had some rumors on the special edition, and it didn't actually look that great. They said they were going to put a lot of stuff in it, but to me it didn't look that great. Hopefully, the real thing will be really, really cool. And lastly, we have some listener feedback, and you can go ahead and read the first one of those.
Hold on, let me just pull up. All right, first listener feedback is, love the show, guys. I live in Taiwan, where 40K is popular among the Taiwanese and expats.
Whatever
who
an
live
expert
here.
Is.
Yeah, we have, I apologize.
Experts, but I don't know how that fit in there. But if you can go on the forums and tell us what an expat is, please, I really want to know, and it's driving me crazy.
Anyway, finishing the comment, your show is a great bright spot on the Podverse, the Haggard. Attached is a image.
Something about Imperial Viagra. yeah.
It's hysterical.
if it's not already up on the forum, so I'll have to put that up.
Yeah, we'll put up in like the random images or...
And then the second one is, hey fellas, I want to give you guys a shout out from all us at Warhammer. From all us war gamers here at the Dragon's Den Hobby Shop. We're all big fans of the Drop Podcast and think that you guys are doing, what you guys are doing is a huge addition to the online community of hobbyists. If you guys ever drop by the UK anytime, you're more than welcome at the Dragon's Den. Best regards, Mike and the rest of the DD folks. Hopefully, after this podcast, we won't be shoot on site.
Yeah. So remember, it's just me and Tim. The number one and number two head honchos are, as we said, one sick and one
is lazy.
Doesn't have a mic.
It is Mike, jerk.
Yeah, so they kind of left it to... two scrubs to kind of figure this one out, so hopefully you'll if you didn't like this episode, you'll continue listening, and please don't leave it because of us.
Don't write us off as horrible and and stab your eyes out or go kill yourself or something.
Yeah. We're sending horrible threats to us.
We need all the listeners we can get.
Yeah.
Stay alive.
And okay. Don't send any threats to us, please.
Okay, as always, you can send your questions, comments, and army lists to our email at mwunion@gmail.com. That's mwunion@gmail.com. And be sure to join us at the Miniatures Wargaming Union at www.mwunion.com. That's www.mwunion.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Drop Podcast on iTunes and also leave us a review there as it ups our ranking. And Steve wants that for some reason, but I really don't care. And thanks for Chris for joining me on this podcast, as it would just be me if he wasn't here. And that'd be really weird.
I'm important for something. Woo!
Yes, all you would have to listen to is me and my rantings. Hell
listen
on
to that.
Earth.
And, yeah, trust me. I talk to him in my free time.
And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Drop Podcast.